Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to Air Tonight. Tonight's guest has written many books on the art of conscious creation, and now he has written another book, The Manuscript, Awakening into Oneness. Tom Marcello is an empowering author, trainer, and a certified hypnotherapist. He has studied and written many books on metaphysics, and so much more. I'm just so excited to get it to this book. I'm screwing up the intro, which is, Tom, my usual thing to do, because I'm just so thrilled to have you on. Tom, thank you very much for being on the show. Your website, I want to say real quick, is tomassuri.com, and that is TOMMURASSO.com. Tom, how are you doing today?
Jennifer, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
You have written and studied this subject for 40 years, and your book, we're really going to be focusing mainly on the manuscript, though the other books are going to be awesome, I know. I read this book, and I really just kept going and going. I did have to set it aside and just kind of resonate and let it just soak in a little bit, because there was so much information and so much truth within it. It was an amazing experience to read your book.
Well, thanks so much. You know, I joke with people about that. They say, hey, how long did it take you to write that book? And I say, about 40 years. So,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty much all the research I've done throughout the decades.
So what led you to write this book? I mean, what was the big awakening moment for you to say, hey, this is information that really needs to be in one place and out there?
Well, you know, I've got several books on the art of conscious creation. Some people call it the law of attraction. And to be honest with you, a lot of stuff is missing from most of the stuff that you see out there on the law of attraction and that. And so that's what kind of led to the manuscript, Awakening into Oneness. It goes deeper and deeper and really shows why those universal laws are pretty much at our disposal if we just wake up and learn how to use them, utilize them.
Now, in the manuscript, you go through kind of a brief, well, actually a pretty in-depth history lesson for everybody to let them know how we got to the point that we're at. And it was very fascinating to read it all. And also that in some ways, some of the contradictions of what man's interpretation is versus what is really being said in some aspects. So I thought that was really interesting to read. Also, you do this with a lighthearted feel to lighten up this heavy subject, which I really appreciated.
Well, we have to laugh, right?
Yes.
You know, law of attraction coaches are always saying, you know, you got to keep your vibrations high and positive. And one of the best ways to do that is to laugh and laugh at life. And that keeps me positive and happy and joyful. And, you know, that's really what we're here to do, just be joyful and live in happiness.
Yeah,
go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
Just going to say, but so many people choose quite the opposite.
Right. And that's only because of, you know, the programming we received growing up as children. You know, we're taught that this is a very cruel world, and you have to be careful. And almost from day one, we are taught more fear than love. And don't misunderstand me when I say that. Certainly, our parents and our family love us. But because of their own fears and what they've been programmed to believe, they just pass it on from generation to generation. And so, you know, we're just naturally scared, you know. And so if we're coming from that place, that fearful place, the law of attraction will answer those vibrations and fearful things will show up into our lives. And, you know, stuff like that isn't talked about in The Secret and things like, you know, law of attraction resources that are out there. One of the most important things that I learned on my journey of research into all of this was that our beliefs, the things that we believe, do manifest as our reality. Mm-hmm. In other words, what you see out there is just a reflection of the beliefs that you hold inside you. And a lot of those beliefs that you have inside you aren't even your beliefs. They were given to us by our parents, by our schools, by our governments, by our televisions, and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So what I tend to do with my clients is give them the broader picture, and that includes who we are, who we really are, and what we're doing here, and how to create wonderful lives based on that information. So that's kind of like the gist of what the manuscript's about.
Now, in the book you talk about choices. Do you feel that in some incidents that people are choosing a certain experience out of karma or just wanting that experience consciously, subconsciously? They're choosing to have a really bad experience just because they know it's going to make them stronger or more aware of the truths that are really there?
Yeah, but now we have to be careful when we say karma and stuff
okay.
like that.
Because usually, it goes both ways.
Well, usually people, will, you know, if they have any understanding or definition of karma, usually it's something that happens to us. And it could be good stuff as well as the bad stuff. But really, nothing happens to us. We create it all. And I agree with what you said, that we may experience some, let's say, challenging things on our life path. But I also believe that we are the ones who have indeed decided to experience these things before we even set foot on the planet.
And I so agree with you. In fact, at the age of 13, I had a dream that lasted 30 days that basically told me all the ways I was going to learn my lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, they kept showing me those, you know, it's like, this is where you are in your path, and this is how much progress you've made, and this is what you're going to learn. And it was fascinating because I do truly believe that I signed up for certain lessons, and some of them as, now I wonder why I went through it again, but I know that I got a deeper understanding. I repeated some of those lessons.
Yeah, everybody does that. And, you know, of course, it does seem pretty cosmic and mystical that we would choose to experience certain things. I mean, let's say cancer, for example. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody want to experience cancer? Well, who knows the exact reasons, but obviously it's for soul growth, mm-hmm. and to learn something that the soul wanted to learn. And now I'm going to start talking more about soul and who we really are, because the manuscript and my coaching involves helping people to understand who we really are, and who we really are is not what we are experiencing. In other words, Jennifer, if I say to you, who are you? What are you going to say? I'm putting you on the spot, but you're probably going to say, I'm a life coach and I'm a radio host.
No, actually, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience.
Okay, great. And that's the ultimate truth. But most people will say, hey, I'm a father and a mm-hmm. New York Giants fan, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a lawyer, and I'm a this, and I'm a that, and I'm a that. And then they're none of those things. Those are things that we experience, but you are right when you said you're a spiritual being having a human experience. And that spiritual being you're talking about is sometimes referred to as our higher self or our true self or our expanded self. And that expanded self or true self is a facet of source energy or the oneness. Some people say God. Some people say the cosmic mind. There's goddess, all sorts of words and terminology. I like all that is because that kind of covers it all, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Now, I want to get some more clarification from you. What is the difference between soul, higher self, and true self?
As far as I'm concerned, it's all the same.
That's what I wanted to get.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's all the same. It's just labels that we use with our limited human brains, okay? Because, I mean, we're describing something that's so unbelievable and so indescribable. I mean, imagine this infinite, all-powerful, higher self that can lower its consciousness and take on a human body and forget entirely who they really are and how powerful they are. Because don't forget, when we say that our higher self is part of this oneness, I mean, that oneness is all powerful. And if we are indeed part of that oneness, we are just this all powerful, you know. So we just forget it entirely, because how could you play the human game if you remembered how powerful you were? It wouldn't be any fun, would it?
No.
So we lower our consciousness. We lower our vibration. We almost dumb ourselves down and play by the rules of physical reality, only to take this lifelong journey to hopefully, and I think more and more and more and more people are waking up and expanding that consciousness again. At least
yeah.
The people I'm running into.
Well, me too, and as we know, it's like attracts like. So, and there is more and more people that I'm finding asking questions about all of this, which I absolutely love talking about and helping them understand what's going on. And with this new consciousness that's really shifting quite quickly now, do you find it easier or harder to stay true to self and not get thrown into ego?
I'm finding it easier to stay true to self. However, it seems like more and more things will pop up to test how good I'm doing.
Right.
And, you know, this is just like anything, you know, practicing the piano or learning how to cook or whatever. When it comes to conscious creation and really understanding how this all works, it does take practice. And I think I'm at the point where things pop up to give me a chance to practice.
Keeps you on your toes every once in a while, doesn't it?
Right.
And it just, again, it makes you appreciate, at least for me, it makes me appreciate that I am listening to my higher self and able to discern between the ego and the higher self and which way is really for the highest good of all.
Right.
Now, some of the ways you go into certain things that can help people understand what they're here to learn, what's going on with their path. And you mentioned astrology and numerology as two parts.
Right. And the thing about astrology and numerology is I call it like the tools that we have to work with. And understand that astrology and numerology just is.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones that always have free will and have free will to either utilize the positive or the negative aspects of astrology and numerology. So, for example, all the astrological signs have positive aspects as well as negative aspects. The same with numerology, and I'll get into that in a second. But how many times have you heard, oh, well, he's doing that because he's a Leo, you know?
Right.
And that's really, that could very well be for somebody that is not fully awake, let's say. I'm trying to find words that are gentle because, I mean, everybody's on their path and wherever they are is fine. You know, it's perfect for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly don't want to sound like holier than thou or anything like that. Everybody from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high is on their perfect path, always. So just a blanket statement like, oh, well, he's like that because he's a Leo. And that may or may not be true because he may be asleep as far as knowing the power that he holds, right?
Right.
I prefer looking at astrology and numerology as tools where we have certain signs in our chart, and our chart is basically a snapshot of the sky when we were born. Okay? And I believe that time that we were born is something that we choose as well, because we want to experience our lives in a certain way. And if it takes being born in September at 2:30 in the afternoon in such and such a place in such and such a year to get the planets to line up in a certain way so that we'll have these tools in our astrological toolbox, so be it. I think that the soul or the higher self makes that choice. And I also feel that they make that choice when it comes to astrology. Numerology, because numerology has to do not only with our birth date, but with our name, our birth name. And there's vibrations in the letters of our names. And that gives us tools. Numerology is more of a down-to-earth kind of a esoteric science. In other words, this is how it can be practically applied, where astrology is more, I would say, more cosmically oriented. But ultimately, we have free will, and we have free will to always choose the positive or the negative side of either the astrology signs or the numerology, the numbers.
Well, I always tell people if they have a negative aspect in their chart, it's something to rise above, to overcome. It's just something to give them a heads up on what's a possibility that's going on with them. It's
right.
Not the be-all and, you know. It tends to me that I've noticed, at least for me, it's definitely very accurate. But when I see it, it's like, okay, I know that's something I need to work on. So I give it, you know, emphasis in the sense that it's a lesson to learn.
Okay, great. So that brings us back to what we talked about earlier. Here's the soul that wants to incarnate on the earth for soul growth.
Right.
And they choose this astrological configuration. And in this configurations, there's this so-called negative aspect. Okay. And we have to be careful when we call things positive and negative there, because those
right.
are just labels, right?
Right.
But it's a challenging aspect, let's say,
yes.
because it's something that will pop up throughout the life. So the soul will have the opportunity to, like you say, rise above it or utilize it for soul growth, which is the same thing.
Right. So do you find that people who are really beginning to understand and really get to the core, because I'm finding right now a lot of my clients are really getting to the core issues of what's going on and really focusing on the very basic things of being worthy of having everything to really be part of the one. Do you
yeah.
find that is something that you're seeing as well?
Okay, now when you're saying the core issues, I'm not sure.
The main, it's like an issue that really keeps repeating.
Okay.
You know, it's like the heart of the onion, and you're peeling away and peeling away, and they're getting closer and closer to, say, worthiness, abandonment issues, or those kind of issues that they keep repeating similar lessons that are associated with some of the basic things that occur in a human experience.
Right. And so your question is, am I running into that as well?
Yes. Are you running into that? And if so, how do you help people deal with the fact that they are worthy, that they are, you know, help them remember who they truly are?
Yeah, well, that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's all remembering.
Because if someone is challenged by something, let's say abandonment or whatever, and it keeps popping up and popping up, it's because they're identifying with their human side as opposed to who they really are.
Right.
Because who they really are, the higher self or the soul, those things don't even mean anything.
Right.
You know, those are things that mean something to the ego. Okay? And I'm not knocking the ego, because we need the ego to experience a third dimension. However, the ego has a tendency to take control and separate it separate itself from the oneness of everything. In other words, I'm here and everything else is out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm here and you're there and the tree's over there and that country's over there and that type of people's over there. And it separates humanity. So those kind of issues, I would start with a client. I would really get them clear. And it takes, here again, it takes practice. Because we've been taught to identify with our egos, you know. We've been taught, oh, you're very special, you know. You're so much more special than so-and-so because this and that, you know, these kind of things. But really, we're not any more special than anyone because we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah, we're all wearing different human costumes, and we all do different human things, but ultimately, that spark of life inside that human costume is all one thing, one energy. And the same energy that's in a cat or a dog or a tree or a plant or Mother Earth is all that same energy. Okay? It's all one thing. And we are just different focal points of that one thing. So I would get my client really clear about who they are identifying with, who they really think they are. And once they start really understanding that they are indeed a spirit having a human experience, they can start to change things almost overnight. Because if we're a human having a human experience, we tend to repeat the same things over and over and over because we're not taking responsibility. We're saying, oh, well, this happened to me because of that guy or that person or my school or my church or all those things that are out there. But there's nothing out there. It's all your creation. So getting clear on who you are helps to change things almost overnight.
And once they get it clear, it's pretty easy to create or recreate the reality that they're living in.
Right. Now that takes us back to beliefs and belief systems.
Right.
And that's where the practice comes in. Because, you know, somebody just listening to this call, let's say, and they don't really have a background in the law of attraction and spirituality and that kind of thing, they might say, yeah, this guy is so full of it, I can't believe it. You know, and that's that key word, right? You can't believe it.
Right.
So, once you start to identify with your higher self and know that that is truly who you are and start to understand how powerful you are and how you can really create anything from the all possibility of the all that is, then you can indeed do that, okay? But you have to believe it.
Now, is it belief or knowing?
Well, I'd say it's probably a little bit of both because we've been conditioned to that phrase, seeing is believing, right?
Right.
And of course, I teach it the other way around. Believing is seeing. Because the beliefs that we hold are manifested in our reality. In other words, our reality will reflect, like a mirror, the belief systems that we have. And it does so without any judgment, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it works, okay? Because those beliefs are really thought forms that we keep thinking, and those thought forms turn into feelings, and those thoughts are vibrations that we send out. And the way the universe is set up, a like vibration will be attracted to that thought vibration and those feelings. So if we have a belief that makes us think a certain way and feel a certain way, then our reality will just reflect that belief back to us.
So if somebody is they're trying to create a certain reality, and they truly believe, or they think they truly believe, that it's theirs, that they're part of the oneness, and yet it's not, the timing is off, because I'm finding that things are instantly manifesting instantly, much quicker than before, and I find it amazing how fast things are manifesting. If something is not manifesting, is that saying that it's just not for the highest good of all? Or is there a belief system that they're not recognizing, or a little bit of both?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. I really can't answer that. I mean,
it depends on the individual, of course.
Yeah, I teach that it's certainly probable and possible to send out a wonderful intention. This is what I want, and I believe that I can get it. And yet there's another part of you, this software programming that you received when you were younger, that's still running in your unconscious, that's saying something like, no, that's not going to happen. There's just no way, you know. And so you're sending out a conflicting vibration, and so nothing's going to come back that way. Or very, maybe sporadic things will happen, because, you know, one minute you're sending out the positive intent, and the next second you're sending out the negative intent. And the other thing I've researched and talk about a little bit is universal timing. And like you said, Jennifer, things lining up for the good of all. And a lot of people will get frustrated because of universal timing, because what will happen is they'll get all excited, and maybe they just learned about the law of attraction and conscious creation, and say, man, this is, I'm just so pumped up, I'm going to find a new house or a new job or whatever, and they're making vision boards and doing everything they can to focus on that intention. And it doesn't arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start thinking, well, this is a bunch of crap, isn't it? It's just not working, you know? And so all of a sudden, I mean, the what they wanted might have been just around the corner. It might have just been coming down the street, you know, just about ready to knock on the door. And they got impatient and said, nah, this isn't going to happen. And all of a sudden, they sent out a new vibration and pushed it way far away.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I tell my clients, hey, set your intention, right? Use your imagination, that childlike imagination that we were taught not to use anymore. Use that imagination, because that's your creative power. And see it, feel it, taste it, smell it, touch it. And how good does all of that feel? And then just let it go. And don't give it another thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because if you keep thinking about it and say, oh, where is it? You know, what's going on? All of a sudden you've moved out of your creative space, which is right now in this one moment, now. And you've put yourself into the future and you're going, where is it? Well, if I don't have it, that means that this might happen. And if that happens, then this might happen, and oh my God, then this is going to happen. Where is it? I thought it'd be here by, and you're, all of a sudden you took a left turn down the fear road, didn't you? Okay? Because you start worrying about where it is, and you let that creative power you had go totally out the window. So it's better to set your intention. Imagine how wonderful it is when it does get here.
Mm-hmm.
And then just move on.
Right.
Let it go. Stay in the now. Don't worry about it.
But they have to listen to the clues. Like, if there's an action they need to take towards that goal, make sure they do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because when you say listen for that, I assume you're talking about your intuition, right?
Yes.
Right. And that's another thing that I speak a lot about in the manuscript, Awakening into Oneness, is utilizing our intuition, because that is the language of the universe. That is the language of our higher self, feelings. Okay, it doesn't speak English, it doesn't speak Chinese, it doesn't speak Spanish. It speaks in feelings. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, we have this great tool, built-in tool, called our feelings and our intuition, that helps guide us along the path. Because one of the worst things we could do is create an intention like, oh, I want to make $1,000 a week. And then our next thought is, now, how am I going to do this? What do I got to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to do anything, okay? You already created the $1,000 a week. You just have to get out of the way and let it come to you, okay? And the way it's going to come to you is by listening to your intuition and following your feel-good, what makes my heart sing feelings. Okay? That
yes.
way you open up yourself to receive that abundance any way it's going to come. Let the universe take care of all the details. The only thing that you have to do is stay happy. Don't worry about things. Don't stress out about things. Don't badmouth things. And what I'm describing is what a lot of people do every day, huh?
Very easily, too.
And what is that? That's the ego that loves to label things and loves to be critical and judgmental. Okay?
Yes.
So just let that guy chill out. Let the ego take care of the important things, like, what do I need to get at the grocery store? You know, what? Let me do the laundry now. You know, those kind of things. Leave the creative stuff up to your higher self.
Now, do you have suggestions of ways that people can, that will help people? Couple things. Number one, get more in touch with their intuition, and also get out of their self so their creative self will manifest.
Okay, well, here again, we're talking about who am I?
Right.
So, if I may, plug the book. Get the book, the manuscript, Awakening into Oneness. It's available on Amazon, on my website, borntomanifest.com. And read the book. It will give you a history of humanity's journey on the planet. Okay? From as far back to the days of Lemuria, Atlantis, all the way up through 2012, the, oh my God, 2012 year and beyond. Okay? And you will see the development of who we really are becoming this human, and then the waking up process. So I think reading the book will help to solidify the who we really are thing. And you'll start to just look at life differently. You will find that you are gentler. You are more compassionate. You let things go. You don't get upset as easily as maybe you did in the past. When you start to identify with your higher self, when you start to realize that we're all this one energy, you realize that anything that you would do to another, you're really doing to yourself. So, I'd say start there. Get that book.
It really is a phenomenal book. I really highly recommend people do it. It really is. The name is perfect. It really truly is the manuscript, you know, and it really informs you of basically everything you really need to know to get ahead in life and truly live in the oneness, understand who you truly are, understand and truly have fun with life again and truly live again. It really was, as I told Tom as we were beginning this, I read the book with a giant smile on my face the entire time. It was just really a joy to read and wonderful information to have. So you mentioned it, and I'm going to kind of ponder the question of right now there is the expanding awareness and energy that some people are getting who are kind of, like, shall we say, newbies, and I do highly recommend getting the book. But do you have any suggestions on how to really kind of absorb and understand the energy that's coming in now in an easier way?
Yeah, that energy that you're speaking about is an astrological configuration that happened back in 87, and that was like the beginning, and it's like accelerating now, and you can just see year by year as we go along here how things just seem to be speeding up, and certainly with the internet, how information is instantly transmitted. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, if you wanted to send a letter to England, let's say, you know, you'd write it out, put a stamp or five on the envelope and send it there, and a month later we'd get there. Now you just hit the enter button and it's there instant,
yeah,
right?
It's
so
amazing.
So information is traveling by the speed of what? Light or whatever it is, you know, certainly as fast as your broadband connection. And so that information is helping all the newbies if they just start maybe looking at things with new eyes. all right? Put the belief systems on the shelf for a moment, right? We all have them.
Mm-hmm.
Just put them on the shelf for a moment and start reading things. Start maybe checking out some websites. You can go to my website, borntomanifest.com. I've got a bunch of articles there and videos and a lot of free stuff to help people along this journey. And I think we started this off with that accelerated energy. It's almost like it's engulfing the planet here, because you would be amazed at the people that are contacting me from the farthest corners of the world wanting to learn this information. And, I mean, it's really exciting. It's almost like the big, whole, gigantic world has become like the size of a pea, you know, because it's shrunk. You know, because information is traveling so quickly now. So I would say, hey, let's get some newbies involved in research and learning as much as they can. And that kind of thing.
With the research and information that's out there, do you suggest they use discernment on what really resonates with them? Because there's a lot of information out there, and it can be really overwhelming, and it can really throw you all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting that you said that, because as I was talking, I'm thinking that exact thing. You know, I'm suggesting that people check out all these websites, assuming that they're going to use discernment. All I can suggest is learn to trust your feelings rather than what your beliefs are telling you. Because you may read something and your beliefs are going to say, well, gee, that's not the way I was taught in my family.
Right.
You know? However, maybe if you're looking at it with new eyes, and when I say new eyes, I mean maybe your expanded awareness eyes, and something's resonating with you, and you go, you know, that feels right. That feels right. And you start to trust those feelings and trust that intuition. And when it feels good, you know that your higher self is communicating with you saying, yeah, that's what we need. That's it. Go
right
that way. Walk in that direction. Read that book.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Because it feels good.
Right. I often tell clients that they should go to a bookstore, go to the metaphysical, the self-help section, and say, literally, show me the book I'm supposed to read next. And just let themselves be guided. Look over the books, and when it feels right, that's the book they're supposed to be reading at that time, because there is an amazing amount of information out there, and some of it is very appropriate for where you are, and some of it will be way over your head, and it'll just, granted, it will be planting a seed for you, which is very good, but in the sense, there's levels of really understanding, and you don't want to get overwhelmed with this stuff.
Right. That's good advice.
So, what other ways, I mean, in the book you suggest if they want to start really connecting with their higher self, you suggest doing automatic writing.
Yeah, automatic writing. There's different techniques. Have you ever, you remember when you used to daydream? Maybe you still do. I mean, I do.
I do.
I used to daydream a lot in school because I always found that to be a challenge in the boredom area. So
mm-hmm.
I used to either doodle or you know, just daydream, staring out into space and using my imagination. And sure, I was this little kid that didn't realize how powerful my imagination was. But automatic writing is, it's almost like you just suggested about walking into the bookstore and asking for the right book to be presented to you. If you just sit down with a pen and paper and just start writing, just write the things that are coming to your head, and don't think about it too much. Just write it, you know, and it might just seem like gibberish that you're writing, but just let it flow, and just let it flow, and just let it flow, and then put it aside for a few days, and then go back and look at it. And maybe write a page or two every evening before you go to bed, or when you wake up in the morning. And don't stress out about what is being said, or don't try to write a novel or correct your mistakes or anything like that. Just let it flow and see if you can start to pick up some kind of a theme or some kind of a message that's interwoven between the pages. And if you do that for, let's say, a week, better yet, a month, religiously, every day, that may be a terrific way to connect with your higher self. My favorite way, though, is by trusting those feelings. When I started to really follow my feelings and understand that guys are taught not to trust the feelings and don't even have feelings, right? So once I really started to go with my intuition and trust my feelings, my life started to change real, real fast.
Yes. So the other thing that I wanted to ask, trusting your feelings, one thing that I have found is also dreams and remembering your dreams. I have so many people say, I don't remember my dreams and I want to. Do you have suggestions of ways to really connect with your dreams and understand what they're saying, or just simply getting what they mean?
I'm really not an expert in that. The only thing that I would suggest is what I've heard from the little dream research I've done, and that is to religiously record whatever you can, have that pad and paper right by your bed, and before you even get out of the bed, start writing down everything that you can remember. And the important thing is not so much what is going on in the dream per se, as the overall mood or feeling that the dream has. Now, I have a friend that's been recording his dreams for 30 years every day, and he's really getting some amazing information. I mean, prophetic information. And a lot of it is coming to fruition. But I'm not really an expert in the dream world.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I was just going to say, now daydreaming, that's another story. I'm really good at that.
No. To you, is that more like a lucid dream then? A daydream versus just a dream?
Daydream is something that I've always done as far back as I can remember, and it's almost like I can close my eyes, or not even necessarily close my eyes, but stare off into space and be somewhere else in that dream. I don't know how I do it. I don't have any suggestions to help people do it, other than maybe try it and see what happens.
Yeah. It sounds like, in a way, you're actually projecting yourself to another reality.
Could be.
And that's a lot of fun. It definitely is fun. Dreams, daydreams can also, though, for me at least, daydreaming can also be setting the stage for something to happen within my life. It's almost like using that imagination to manifest something.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. So absolutely.
So in that sense, it really is a fun thing to do. It also really connects with your inner child and the imagination and your higher self all together. So with everything that's going on, we have maybe about 3 minutes left. What are your last thoughts, comments, suggestions? I definitely highly recommend they go to your website and buy your book. So what other final thoughts do you have on what's going on right now?
Yeah. I would say, first and foremost, that you want to know that no matter what is going on in your life, in the bigger scheme of things, it really is perfect for what you need right at this moment. Okay, so if it feels like your world is falling in on you, that's perfect for what you need at this moment. Okay? So always know that no matter what's going on in your life, it's perfect. Everything that has happened in your life was perfect. Even all the funky, weird stuff was perfect. Okay? Now you've listened to this call. Maybe you'll get the book. Maybe you start to walk a new path as you continue on your life journey here. And know that you are indeed a unique focal point of the all that is. Some people would say a child of God, and you have that same power as the Father, Mother, God. That means you have that creative power to create your reality. And your reality is created by what's going on inside you. What are you thinking about? What do you believe? How do you feel about this or that? Okay? Let go of the criticism. Let go of the judgments. Let go of all of the stuff that really doesn't serve you. Okay? Because the only control you have is control over your reality. Everybody's life is perfect the way it is. Maybe it doesn't feel right to you, but that doesn't matter. It's their life. You create your own reality. Focus on that. And just love everybody.
Yes. And what is the best website, Tom, for them to get it? Because you do have more than one website. So which is the best website for them?
Yeah. If they go to borntomanifest.com, sign up for my newsletter there, and right off the bat you'll get 10 free ebooks on the power of thought and conscious creation. Like I said, there's a bunch of articles and videos there, and all my books are listed there, and you can get those on Amazon and places like that as well. And the other website is the same, really leads to the same place. It's TomMurasso.com, TomMurasso.com, TomMurasso.com.
Excellent. And Tom Morasso, I thank you very much for being on air. It's been a real pleasure and an honor to have you here. So thank you again.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
And with that, this is Jennifer Hillman saying, with each breath of air, gain new insights and inspiration. Until next time, many blessings and good night.